Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janava Labha Girivaradhari Jasodha Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnupad Panamahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Ashutara Shatushi Shamar Sivayan Grishila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Grantara Srima Bhagavatam Ki Gau Pramanandi All glories to the Sum Devotees All glories to Shishidran Gauranga O Maknanantamirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Tadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Shrima Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Text 27 and 28 Manishinon tarhidisani veshitam Swashakti bhirnava bhishcha trivrid bhihi Vanam yathadharuni panchadashyam Manishaya nishkashanti gudam Manishaya nishkashanti gudam Sa shakti birna vabhishta trividbi Vadam yatadharani panchadasyam Manishaya nishkarshanti gudam Swashakti Bhirnava Bhishchatri Bhidbhi Vanam Yatadharuni Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudham Mother. Manishunantar Hidisani Vishitam Swashakti Bhirnava Pishcha Trividbi Vanim Yatadharuni Panchadashyam Manishaya Nishkarshanti Gudam Savai Mama Shesha Visheshamaya Nisheda Nirvana Sukhana Bhutihi Sa Sarvanama Sacha Vishwarupa Prasidatam Aniruktatma Shakti Manishinaha. Great learned brahmanas performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. Antahridhi, within the core of the heart. Saniveshitam, being situated. Swashaktibihi, with his own spiritual potencies. Navabihi, also with the nine different material potencies. The material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the mind, and the five objects of the senses. Cha, and the five gross material elements, and the 10 acting and knowledge gathering senses. Trividbi, by the three material modes of nature. Vanim, fire, yata, just like, dharuni, within wood, panchadashyam, produced by chanting the 15 hymns, known as samidheni mantras, manishaya, by purified intelligence, nishkarshanti, extract, gudham, although not manifesting. Sa, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vai, indeed, mama, toward me. Ashesha, all, vishesha, varieties. Maya, of the illusory energy. Nishedha, by the process of negation. Nirvana, a liberation, sukha anubhuti, who is realized by transcendental bliss. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvanama, who is the source of all names. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cha, also Vishwarupa, the gigantic form of the universe. Prasidatam, may he be merciful, anirukta, inconceivable, atmashakti, the reservoir of all spiritual potencies. Translation, just as learned brahmanas who are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices can extract the fire dormant within wooden fuel by chanting the 15 samidheni mantras, thus proving the efficacy of the Vedic mantras. So those who are actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, in other words, those who are Krishna conscious, can find the super soul who by his own spiritual potency is situated within the heart. The heart is covered by the three modes of material nature and the nine material elements, material nature, the total material energy, the ego, the mind, and the five objects of sense gratification. And also by the five material elements and the 10 senses. These 27 elements constitute the external energy of the Lord. Great yogis meditate upon the Lord, who is situated as the Supersoul, Paramatman, within the core of the heart. May that Supersoul be pleased with me. The Supersoul is realized when one is eager for liberation from the unlimited varieties of material life. One actually attains such liberation when he engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and realizes the Lord because of his attitude of service. The Lord may be addressed by various spiritual names which are inconceivable to the material senses. When will that Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with me? That was a translation. Got all that? Purport. In his commentary to this verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur uses the word durvijñeyam, which means very difficult to realize. The pure stage of existence is described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 28, wherein Krishna says, Yesham tantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dhvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mandrudavrataha. Quote, persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated and who are free from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. End quote. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 14, the Lord says, Satatam kirtanyanto mam yatantascha drudavrataha namashyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Quote, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. That's the end of the quote. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead after transcending all material impediments. Therefore, Lord Krishna also says in the Gita, chapter 7, verse 3, Manushya nam sarhasreshu kashchit yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam viti tattvataha. Quote, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and out of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. End quote. To understand Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one must undergo severe penances and austerities. But since the path of devotional service is perfect, by following this process, one can very easily come to the spiritual platform and understand the Lord. This too is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 55. Wherein Krishna says, Bhaktiya mam abhijanati yavan yashchasmi tattvataha tato mam tattvato gnatva vishyate taranantaram. Quote, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. When one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. End quote. Okay, so that's one part. Thus, although the subject matter is durvijñeyam, extremely difficult to understand, it becomes easy if one follows the prescribed method. Coming in touch with the Supreme Personality of God, it is possible through pure devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Yes. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, chapter 8, verse 5, Pravishta Karna Radrena Swanam Bhavasaro Ruham. The process of hearing and chanting enters the core of the heart, and in this way one becomes a pure devotee. By continuing this process, one comes to the stage of transcendental love, and then he appreciates the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, a pure devotee by devotional service is able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead despite many material impediments, which are all various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Easily making his way through these impediments, a devotee comes directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After all, the material impediments described in these verses are but various energies of the Lord. When a devotee is eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he prays to the Lord, Ayi nandan tanujan kinkaram patitam mam vishame bhavan buddhau kripaya tvapada pankaja stita dhuli sadrisham vinchintaya. Quote, this is from Shishashakam. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. End quote. Being pleased with the devotee, the Lord turns all his material impediments into spiritual service in this connection. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes a verse from the Vishnu Purana, Ladini Sandhini Samvit Twayeka Sarvasam Stitao Ladatapakari Mishra Twayi No Gunavarjite. In the material world, the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested as tapakari, which means causing miseries. Everyone hankers for happiness, but although happiness originally comes from the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the material world, because of material activities, the pleasure potency of the Lord becomes a source of miseries, lada tapakari. False happiness in the material world is a source of distress. When one's endeavors for happiness are redirected towards the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this tapakari element of misery is vanquished. An example given in this connection is that extracting fire from wood is certainly difficult, but when the fire comes out, it burns the wood to ashes. In other words, experiencing the Supreme Personality of God is extremely difficult for those devoid of devotional service, but everything becomes easier for a devotee, and thus he can very easily meet the Supreme Lord. Last paragraph. Here, the prayers say that the form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of material form and is therefore inconceivable. Anirukta. Anirukta. Atma Shakti B. A devotee prays, however, my dear Lord, be pleased with me so that I may very easily see your transcendental form and potency. Non-devotees try to understand the Supreme Brahman by discussions of neti-neti, nisheda, nirvana, sukha, nabhuti. A devotee, however, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, avoids such laborious speculations and realizes the existence of the Lord very easily. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. That was long. So this verse is, we were hearing yesterday in these Hamsaguya prayers that the personality of God, the absolute truth, has a aspect that is easy to realize and an aspect that is difficult to realize. We were hearing yesterday, remember? So the easy form to realize is the form of Brahman Paramatma. The difficult form to realize aspect is Bhagavan aspect. So yesterday's verse, we heard about the form that is easy to realize. And the process for realizing that form is quite challenging because it requires first bringing the mind to complete cessation of permutations. The mind, there's like constant permutations going on in the mind. Just like a how you say, the will of a movie, you know? It's just like, and the will of a movie has different images on it, right? And then when those images are just passing through, it looks like a whole movement comes on the screen and we become totally absorbed in that and so on, right? Does that make sense? I'm not exactly explaining this in the most eloquent sort of way. So similarly, our mind is like this will of images, samskaras, and it's constantly moving. Understand? Does it make sense? Can you picture my... I'm trying to give a visual. It's constantly moving. This is called a vritti. Vritti means the constant movement of this of the will of the mind, so to speak. And we become absorbed in that, and therefore we're not able to realize the Supreme Lord. So then the process of Yoga Marga, we were kind of hearing about this yesterday, is to stop the movement of those vrittis, the movement of the will of the movie, so to speak, of the beginningless and endless samskaras. And then once you're able to do that, you can enter into a state of samadhi, which is a state of very purified, rarefied goodness. And from that platform, you can begin to experience Brahman and ultimately come to the stage of Paramatma realization. So this is the easy aspect of the Lord to realize, although the process is very challenging. You can imagine trying to stop all the vrittis of the mind. Just like now, so many vrittis are going on in the mind, isn't it? And you have to stop that. Stop that. Understand? Stop it. But you cannot stop also. It is not such an easy thing to do. Such as the process of Yoga Marga is very challenging. But if you're able to do so, if you gain sufficient power, strength to do so, then you can enter into samadhi, and from the platform of samadhi, you can begin to realize Brahman, and you can realize Paramatma. This is easy form of the absolute truth to realize. In today's verse, it says the difficult form is realized. It is difficult because it can only be realized by pure bhakti. Thus, the so many quotes of Prabhupada in the beginning. So it is difficult because it can only be realized by pure bhakti, unmixed with other elements such as karma, jnana, and yoga. And it is difficult to realize because the Lord's form is unlimited. And so even if you are able to realize it through bhakti, He has unlimited qualities. His form is itself unlimited. And therefore, there is no limit to what could be realized. And therefore, it is difficult to realize. Understand? So it's difficult to realize for two reasons. Reason number one, it requires pure bhakti, not mixed with gyan, karma, yoga. And reason number two, unlimited. Even the Lord cannot realize His own beatitude. So therefore, His form is said to be difficult to realize. Understand? Simple point. Now, how do we realize His difficult form that is being described in this verse? In this verse, how do we realize that difficult form is being described? So the first thing that's being mentioned here, manishino antarhidi sanniveshitam. First, you have to draw the Supreme Lord into your heart. Bhagavan, understand? First, you have to draw Him into your heart. How do you draw the Supreme Lord into your heart? See, antarhidi means situated within the heart. So you have to draw the Supreme Lord within your heart first, sanniveshitam. So how do you do that? How do you draw the Supreme Lord into your heart? You can guess. By devotional service, by hearing, understand? Pravishta karna ranjena swanam bhavasoro ruham. This mentioned here. Pravishta karna ranjena means the Supreme Lord. Pravishta means to enter. So Supreme Lord in the form of topics about Him, understand? In the form of sound vibration. The Supreme Lord in the form of topics about Him enters into the ear, hopefully. Understand? Hopefully. The Supreme Lord, Sadhu is speaking, and that vibration is the Supreme Lord, understand? And He enters into the doorway of the ear if it's not closed, locked, sorry, no entry today. If you unlock the door, then the Supreme Lord and the vibration enters the ear of the heart. And then, swadnam bhavasoro ruham, then He sends on the lotus of the heart, which is filled with various potential sentiments, understand? Bhavasuro ruham means potential sentiments in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Potential sentiments in form of dasya, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. You understand these terms? Dasya ras means attitude of service to the Lord. Sakya means friendship with the Lord. Vatsalya means parental affection for the Lord. And madhurya, conjugal affection. So these bhavas, understand bhava, dasya bhava, madhurya bhava, vatsalya bhava, they exist as potential in the lotus heart of the soul, understand? So then that sound vibration, if the door is unlocked, understand? Then that sound vibration enters in the doorway of the ear and into the chamber of the heart, which is situated a lotus flower filled with potential sentiments in relationship to the Supreme Lord, understand? Dinoti Shamalam Krishna. Then that sound vibration does a number on your heart. I like to say like that. It does a number on the heart by kicking away all the negative qualities which is preventing that potential from manifesting itself. Salayasya Yatasharat. Just as autumn rains on pools of muddy water. Apparently during the raining season, in India, we don't really have many seasons in Chicago. We basically only have two seasons. We have winter and summer. And summer is 3 months, and then it's winter for the rest of the year. Anyway, they have five seasons in India. That's probably changing also, but the one season is the rainy season. And when the rainy season is there, all the mud comes to the top of the water. But during the autumn season, it's just like a light drizzle. And that light drizzle causes all the mud to become settled. And then the water again looks clear. Or we can say as clear as possible. It's India. nowadays. Understand that, that image? You can picture that image? So similarly, when the Supreme Lord enters the heart, all the mud of lust, anger, greed, desire for lordship over the material nature is sitting there blocking the spiritual sentiments, the various potential bhavas from manifesting. So when you hear, if you open your ears, open the doorway, okay, come in, and the sound vibration enters and comes to the heart, then it removes all that mud from the heart, just like the autumn rains will remove the dirt from the surface of the water. So that hearing removes all the mud, and that potential bhava that is in you can manifest. Understand? This is the first line. Manishino antaradi sanniveshitam. Not an aside, this is an important point. Supreme Lord is already in the heart. We hear this. The Supreme Lord is already in the heart as super soul, isn't he? So what is the necessity of bringing the Lord into the heart? He is already in the heart as a super soul. So why we say bringing the Lord into the heart? So then Vishwanathacharya Thakur makes a nice comment in relationship to this verse from Bhagavatam. That super soul is in the heart, but he is neutral. We've many times mentioned this. Samoham sarabhuteshu name dveshosti napriya. Super soul is neutral. He does not favor anyone. He's not cruel or against anyone. He's neutral. So Vishwanathacharya Thakur says that when Krishna enters into the ear and the heart in the sound vibration, he says this implies that Krishna makes the jiva attached to him. Understand? Because super soul is neutral. You want to do some sense gratification? All right, he makes facilities for you according to your karma. You have desire for sense gratification according to what you deserve, super soul provides. He's neutral. Understand? But Krishna is not neutral. Understand? What is that? Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. Krishna is not neutral. If you have bhakti for him, then he's partial towards you. Isn't it? Krishna, super soul, is neutral. But if you have bhakti, Krishna is not neutral. He's partial towards you. So bhakti, beginning with hearing, causes the Lord to become partial towards you. And he begins to make you attached to him. Understand? So this verse is very significant. That you draw the Supreme Lord into your heart, and he makes you attached to him because of that bhakti in the form of hearing about him. Understand? Now, this is an analogy. It is given just as fire exists in firewood. Vanyam yata dharuni panchadashyam. Just as fire exists in firewood, and brahmanas, to test the efficacy of their mantra chanting, used to cause a fire to come out of the firewood just by chanting mantras. They used to do like that. Nowadays, you need a lighter and struggling. You see many times struggling with the ghee lamp, struggling. And that too, you can't just have the ghee wick anymore. You need the camphor. Camphor is it looks like a white powder, and it causes things to flame up really quick. So if you just have the ghee wick, sometimes the pujari forgets to put the camphor on top of the tip of the ghee wick. So you see the pujaris during Guru Puja, they're like going like this many times. And then they sometimes burn their finger. So then we struggle. In other words, we struggle to light the ghee wick. you need so much facility to do so. But in previous days, previous yugas, they used to just chant some mantra. They'd just walk up to the ghee wick. And then fire immediately come up, you know. Such was their power. Now we cannot do. Now we're struggling with lighters and so on. But before, they used to just chant some mantras. Immediately the fire will come. So similarly, fire is there in firewood. You cannot tell just by looking at it. But fire actually exists in a latent way in firewood. So also our potential to move in relationship to the Supreme Lord in love exists in potential. Like that fire exists in potential in firewood. But it has to be drawn out. So just as the brahmanas are able to draw out the fire from the firewood with mantras, so the devotee, first of all, draws the Supreme Lord within his heart through the process of shravanam, and then he draws the Lord out of his heart so he can see him face to face through the process of prema bhakti. Understand? We are following the process of prema bhakti. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. So bhakti begets bhakti. Bhakti in practice, Bhakti bhajan begets bhakti imperfection. Bhaktiya sanjataya bhaktiya. This verse comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So first, the devotee draws Supreme Lord in his heart through the process of bhakti in the form of shravanam. And then he draws the Supreme Lord out of his heart so he can see him face to face through the process of nam-bhajan. And that way, face to face, he can see the Supreme Lord. Understand? That's first analogy. That's a nice analogy. And just as fire is there in the firewood, and it's drawn out by mantra chanting, so Supreme Lord comes to be situated in the heart through hearing about him, and you become attached to him. And that Supreme Lord, however you're attached to him, he comes out of the heart. So you can see him face to face through the process of prema bhakti, headed by nam bhajan. Understand? That's the first line. And he comes out, swashakti bihi. He comes out with all his spiritual potencies. You can, in other words, Krishna is never alone, but he is always with his spiritual potencies. So this is actually basically the whole first half of the purport where Prabhupada is quoting so many verses. By bhakti, you can come to see the Supreme Lord. Bhakti in the form of shravana, draw him into the heart. Bhakti in the form of nambhajan, draw him out of the heart. Just like you might draw fire out of the firewood. And then you exchange with the Lord in loving mellows, loving relationship with Krishna. Understand? So then, that's the first verse. This is his first verse. Then the second verse mentions, it starts to speak about the Supreme Lord himself. So he is beyond the various manifestations of the illusory energy. Understand? Nirvana sukha anubhuti. He is realized as happiness devoid of the arrows of tapakati, the arrows of misery. In other words, in the material world, we experience happiness, but that happiness is mixed with misery, isn't it? There's nothing like undiluted happiness in the material world. Happiness means, Prabhupada says, that space in between two suffering conditions. It's just like if someone takes your head and pushes it in the water. But there's a form of torture that was previously adopted. Stick your head in water, and just when you're on the verge of dying, they put your head out for a minute, and you go, and then they put it back in. So that is happiness in the material world. Understand? That is the happiness in the material world. Understand? That little break from the pushings of the material energy, that is called happiness. It is, in other words, it's a misnomer. Understand? It's a misnomer to keep us enthused to continue on with this miserable life. Otherwise, you commit suicide. So to keep us enthused, you say this is happiness. But it is actually a misnomer. There's no happiness. But the Supreme Lord has realized his nirvana sukha. He has realized his happiness without the arrows of the miseries that we experience in this material world. So this not, and then Sasaravanama, Satcha Vishwarupa, he is all names. Every name, every word in the material world actually refers to the Supreme Lord first. And it only refers to another object secondarily. Just like we say Kartal. Kartal is actually the name of the Supreme Lord, primarily. And when your intelligence shall become increased, you'll understand that. This is according to the Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra says that all names actually are names of the Supreme Lord. But because our intelligence is very low, we cannot understand that. So when our intelligence shall become increased, by hearing from Shastra, we'll understand that all names in this material world are primarily names of the Supreme Lord. I'll bet their names, they're the Supreme Lord by dint of his external Shakti being not different from him. So they're, in other words, his material world is Krishna. Because it is Krishna's Maya Shakti, his external energy. So it's not different from him. So in that sense, it is Krishna, for sure. So that's the Sarvanama, Satcha Vishwarupa, Prasiditam, Aniruktatma Shakti. And his Atma Shakti refers to his Swarup Shakti, his internal energy, which is inconceivable. So these verses are giving a description of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada in his purport, in describing this, he makes the point that when a devotee takes up bhakti, he shall realize the Supreme Lord, as I've already just described, that whole analogy, And when he realizes the Supreme Lord, then all these things which were sources of misery for him become opportunity for serving the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada's choosing to bring out this particular point. What are those obstacles in the material world? So this is mentioned here as, Navabhis, Chatri, Vibhid, the three modes of material nature. Navabhis, Prabhupada's dividing as the various elements of the material existence. The senses, the sense objects, the material ego, ahankara, prakriti, pradhan, all these manifestations of material nature. These are obstacles for conditioned souls, isn't it? It is very hard to overcome the influence of the material energy. They're quite formidable. A very formidable obstacle. The senses, for example, very formidable obstacle, isn't it? Just like fasting day comes, you're supposed to fast, and then they make very nice preparations. On that day only. Most of the day, they make preparations when your mind is peaceful. You know. For example, not here. Our temple is quite opulent, actually. But in a lot of places, it is like this. They make preparations when your mind is quite peaceful. Rice, dal, some simple sabji, liquid sabji also that you don't like so much. Every day they're making that. And on a fast day, they make all nice things. Because fast day means it's for the deities, there's some special celebration is there. So they make all nice preparations. And sometimes you walk past the kitchen, you see all these little small silver bowls of all wonderful preparations. And that day, although you're not supposed to lust over that day, you're thinking about it all day. So senses are obstacles. You commit opera like this, isn't it? You commit opera, you go and see, opera. You commit opera, actually. Lusting over the Supreme Lord. So senses are very obstacle, formidable. Mind is very formidable. A Sunday feast class, I described how mind is very formidable. Mind is always contemplating sense objects. And sense objects enter into the mind as desires, isn't it? So you contemplate a sense object. What is a sense object that you contemplate regularly? PG-13. Nothing over that. What is a sense object you contemplate regularly? Prasadam. It always comes back to the Anamaya consciousness, huh? Sleep? That's not exactly a sense object. Maybe the sleeping bag. That's a sense object. So I contemplate the sleeping bag quite regularly. So by contemplating the sleeping bag, then the sleeping bag enters into your mind as a desire. What is that desire? The desire to enjoy that sleeping bag by laying in it. Understand? So in this way, the mind and the sense objects form a shackle for the consciousness. The consciousness is shackled to the material world because of the mind and working together with the sense objects. They're like crime lords, understand? The mind and sense objects are like crime lords, and they're working together, and they shackle the consciousness down to the material plane. And there's a big obstacle, actually. Tremendous obstacle, understand? So senses are obstacle. Mind, in conjunction with the sense objects, is an obstacle. Ego is an obstacle. So much ego, false ego is there. Big obstacle is there, false ego, isn't it? False ego basically means, I am this body. One is thinking, I am this body. And from there, everything goes downhill. Then you're attached to so many sense objects are there and so on. As an enjoyer of those objects, that's false ego. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. This is a false ego. So this is a formidable obstacle also. This is all mentioned here. Navabhis chatri vidpi, per Prabhupada's translation, as he's discussing it. These are all the obstacles in the material world. But after all these obstacles in the material world are just Krishna's energies. Understand? That's what Prabhupada's pointing out in the purport. All these things that we're talking about, ahankara, and these senses, the sense objects, the material elements, all committed in such a way to become very attractive things for us. These are all just actually various energies of the Supreme Lord. So when you start to see the Supreme Lord through the process of prema bhakti, as I've already described previously, then you start to see that these obstacles are servants of the Supreme Lord. Understand? They're not my enemy, actually. They're servants of the Supreme Lord. Once Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas, he went to stay in the house of Advaitacharya by some trick. Nanda Prabhu played some trick, and he ended up in the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur. Then when Lord Chaitanya, after he satisfied everyone in Shantipur, his family and his loved ones in Shantipur, he wanted to go to Neelachala. But at the time, there were Mohammedan government was there, and they were creating a big obstacle. There were some political issues going on between the Mohammedan government and then Orissa, and it was quite dangerous to travel such a distance, especially by oneself. But then Lord Chaitanya very determinedly said, no, I am going. I will leave for Neelachala and I will go by myself. He said like this. So then the Advaitacharya said, yes, for you this is not an obstacle because you are a Supreme Lord and obstacles are servants of the Supreme Lord. Advaitacharya said like this, obstacles are servants of the Supreme Lord. So a devotee who sees this, is beginning to see the Supreme Lord by the process of Parama Bhakti, that which was ordinarily an impediment to reaching the Supreme Lord becomes the Lord's servants. They are augmenting our movement towards the Supreme Lord. A servant of God in relationship to us who are in need of so much mercy helps us to attain the Supreme Lord, isn't it? That's what a servant of the Lord does for the conditioned souls in this world. They help one to attain Krishna. So similarly, these obstacles are such servants of the Supreme Lord. According to Advaitacharya, he says like that. They actually help the devotee attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. They are his servant, actually. Because the devotee is serving Krishna, and they are also servants of Krishna, so those obstacles are servants of you, isn't it? Krishna, just like Krishna says that those who say they are my devotees, now I'm playing around with this a little bit, but just to... Krishna says, those who say they are my devotees, they are not my devotees. But those who are devotees are my devotees. Those are my real devotees. So these obstacles are our devotees. Understand? They're devoted to devotees. So we are trying to be a devotee. So these obstacles, no, I am not just Krishna's servant. I am your servant also. And they come plentiful. Many servants come to render service to you. And in that way, they help you move towards the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada is making this point. This is actually an explanation to the statement, Nirvana Sukha. Nirvana Sukha, as I mentioned, Anubhuti. Nirvana Sukha means realizing the Supreme Lord as happiness devoid of misery. So this verse is quoted, Hadini Sadini Samvit, Twayi Eka Sarva Samsito. Krishna is the shelter of Hadini Shakti, Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti. These are spiritual potencies. Krishna is the shelter of those potencies. Lada tapakari mishra twayi no guna varchite. One who realizes Krishna, na guna varchite, who is beyond the gunas, he realizes lada tapakari mishra. He realizes happiness without the mishra of tapakari, without the mixture of misery. Prabhupada is pointing out here in the purport that the ladini shakti, the material world is a shadow of the spiritual potency, understand? So the Sandini Shakti is the existential potency of Krishna. When that Shakti reflects in the material world, then that it works as the modes of material nature which gives rise to all the existence we see here. So just as the Sandini Shakti manifests the spiritual world, along with the spiritual forms, the trees, the houses, the whole environment is manifested by the Sandini Shakti, that Sandini Shakti reflects in the material world and manifests the whole material existence through the modes of material nature. It's a reflection of the Sandini Shakti, understand? Then the Samvit Shakti gives cognition of that spiritual reality. So when that Shakti reflects in the material world, it gives cognition of the material world. You cognize the material world through the various mind, senses, buddhi, intelligence. That's how you cognize. That ability to cognize the material world is a perverted reflection of the Samvit Shakti. And then in the spiritual world, the Hladini Shakti causes you to move towards the absolute truth incessantly. Because Hladini Shakti means the potency which gives pleasure to Krishna. So in the spiritual world, now that you see the environment, you've cognized it through the Samvit Shakti, then the Hladini Shakti causes you to move for Krishna's pleasure. When that Shakti reflects in the material atmosphere, it causes you to move for your own sense gratification. In the form of madness, the madness of sense gratification. What is that verse from Rishabhdev's teaching? Nunam pramata kurutevi karma. Yadindriya prite aprinoti. You become mad. Pramata, mad for vikarma, sense gratification. Vikarma means unfavorable activities, sinful activities. Why you become mad? Indriya priti, because I love the senses. Due to love of the senses, love or sense gratification. So this ladini shakti is such a powerful force in the spiritual world, causing you to move towards Krishna. When it reflects in the material world, powerful force causing you to move towards sense objects, isn't it? Very powerful force. Even now, moving towards sense objects, isn't it? Mind is moving. Only because out of some respect, body is sitting, but mind is moving towards sense objects. And that, the force, sometimes the question comes up, why is the material world so attractive? Even after we know what it is, we've heard enough classes, we know what it is, but still you see some sense object, immediately. Of course, externally, you show yourself to be sober, but your eyes are always... Isn't it? Eyes are always moving. Sometimes some sense object is just nearby, and you're in the society of devotees, so you know you're not supposed to be attracted to it. So you show yourself as not but eyes. You look at the devotee, oh, he's not looking. Yes. Why is it? Even though you know what it is, you know it is a source of misery. We refer so many classes also. But still, you get attracted. There's a force that is there, actually. That force is the... Of course, we know it's the modes of nature and so on, but underlying all this is this perverted reflection of the Hladini Shakti, which is forcing our movement in relationship to sense objects. So because of the perverted reflection of that Hladini Shakti, Lada Tapakari Mishra, our happiness is mixed with a lot of misery. Because the material world is such a place where it is inherently miserable. But when you realize the Supreme Lord, all the misery that you experience in this material world become Krishna's servants. They become opportunities for service to Krishna. They become sources of happiness. Lada tapakari. So your happiness is not mixed with tapakari. Although tapakari, miseries may be coming, but you're still experiencing happiness not mixed with suffering. And why that is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Sharanagati prayers. I was going to read that, but maybe we could sing it. But he explains in the Sharanagati prayers, Atmanivedana section, song 8, that for those who are fully surrendered to the Krishna, then those the suffering that one experiences in trying to serve Krishna is one's greatest wealth and the source of great happiness. Parama Sampada, Parama Sukha, the language is used thereby. That suffering that you experience in trying to please the Supreme Lord becomes one's supreme wealth and the source of supreme happiness. And it becomes the destruction. It becomes the cause of the destruction of ignorance, which is the cause of our being taking birth in the material world again and again. So such is the power of bhakti. That this is, of course, only a secondary power of bhakti. By the secondary power of bhakti... or the secondary or concomitant factor of seeing the Supreme Lord in your heart by the process of developing devotion to Krishna through hearing and chanting, Nambhajan, then whatever misery you experience will be without any suffering. Even so much suffering will be coming, externally speaking, but you will be without experience of that suffering because you will see it, that is all for the pleasure of my Supreme Lord, my deity. That is mentioned here. Nirvana Sukha Anubhuti. And so Prabhupada kind of makes a couple of comments here about how those who try other processes of negation, Nisheda, this neti-neti process of this is not Krishna, this is not spiritual, it's called neti-neti process. Why go through so much trouble? All that mental speculation. This is not that. Why you should go through so much trouble? You simply take up this process of bhakti. In my bhakti, you can realize Krishna without the suffering of the material nature. And more important than that, primary factors, you can see Krishna, along with his swashakti bhi or atma shakti, his internal shakti. And that way, you become supremely happy. Krishna gives you shelter of his lotus feet. You go back to the abode of the Supreme Lord. So again, it is the process actually of realizing the Supreme Lord is quite easy. Satatam kirtanyantamam, itam tashchadrujavrata. This is also called, process is easy, But the form is difficult to realize only because Krishna has to extend himself. And he's not going to extend himself to everyone. He has to be sure that you are into him before he'll extend himself to you. That means asakti. You have to really develop attachment to Krishna. But then it becomes easy. The Prabhupada says here, it becomes easy like anything if you follow this prescribed method. So this is described here. Are there any questions about this? Any comments, concerns? Anyone just ask something?
You said that the impediments, they're like servants to us because they help us get closer to Krishna. But if they're like blocking us from him, how are they helping us? Just like Maya, she's a servant of Krishna, I understand that. Yeah. But her service is to keep us in illusion.
She does a pretty good job, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yes, it is not servants really for everyone. There's servants for those who develop Krishna consciousness. That's what is mentioned here. For those who are becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're either very attached to the Lord or they're beginning to see the Lord within their heart. And for such persons, obstacles are servants, drawing them near to their deity. But for us, it's just a bummer. Just like, example, Bharat Maharaj got attached to a deer and took birth again as a deer. But this was ultimately serving, this was meant to serve him. This situation was a service to him because it was causing his attachment to Krishna to become increased by a situation of separation from Krishna in the form of a deer. For us, that would be a great bummer because we don't have any bhav for Krishna as Bharat Maharaj had. So it is. So it's not a. It is, of course, for us, we can try to conceptualize it as a. When we're struggling, we can try to conceptualize it as a. This is a servant of Krishna. This is ultimately drawing me towards Krishna. But if we're not so advanced, our mind doesn't usually allow us to think in that way. So we require sadhu sangha to help us gain a little perspective, or at least to help us tolerate the situation. So it is serving, but not for everyone. In context of the verse, it's a servant for a certain type of elevated devotee, one who's Krishna conscious. Any other points, comments, concerns, questions? No? I missed that.
He said, one who realizes the Supreme Lord, all the miseries in this material world, and then you said something after that, but I couldn't remember.
All the miseries in the material world become servants of that devotee. So just as Krishna says, those who say they are my devotees are not my devotees, but those who say they are devotees of my devotees, then they are my true devotees. So obstacles are Krishna's true devotees because they're devoted to us or devoted to those who are Krishna conscious. So you find in a Krishna conscious person's life, their lives are full of obstacles, isn't it? In fact, I often joke to people, don't let people read the Srimad Bhagavatam too early because they'll get discouraged because all devotees are suffering like anything and practically every chapter. You hear about Kunti suffering, Prahlad Maharaj suffering, Dhruva Maharaj suffering, Bali Maharaj suffering, Tritiketu suffering, Bharat Maharaj suffering, everyone's suffering. Huh? So you see that obstacles are very devoted to devotees. And so you find every chapter devotees are suffering. They're not suffering though, that was the point of my class. Nirvana Sukha Anubhuti, they don't actually suffer. Although the conditions objectively looked at from our perspective are quite miserable. Nirvana Sukha. Sukha, happiness realized without the arrows. Vana means arrow, so nirvana, without the arrows of misery that we normally would experience in relationship to such circumstances.
You gave a very nice class about Ladini, Sambit, and Sandini. I have one question about, I could not understand about Samvit. Can you please explain?
Yeah, Samvit Shakti is a potency by which you're able to know things. So in the spiritual world, you have the spiritual environment, you have the land, the trees, the houses, the spiritual bodies. But you need to be able to know what those are. You need to have consciousness of them. So the Samvit Shakti is a potency that allows you to be conscious of all those things. That, oh, here's a person, here's the tree, here's a boat. So just like now, in the material world, our consciousness cannot stretch to know the spiritual world. But when the Samvit Shakti enters into the soul, that Shakti allows us to have consciousness of the spiritual world. Otherwise, we can't have consciousness of it. So you need the support of the Samvit Shakti to allow you to be conscious of the spiritual world. So therefore, another way, same example though, when Krishna appears in the material world as a human, most people see Krishna as an ordinary person. And that's because they don't have the support of the Samvit Shakti, which allows them to see Krishna in his true nature. But when the soul gets the support of the Samvit Shakti, then he can know Krishna as he truly exists, as the Supreme Lord. So the devotees see Krishna as Krishna because they have the support of the Samvit Shakti, which makes them conscious of that. Whereas the non-devotees, they may also see Krishna, but because they don't have the support of the Samvit Shakti, they don't know that it is Krishna, even though they see him. Adrishta Damne Gunatattu Buddhi, we already described that point. So it is the Samvit Shakti is what allows you to be conscious of the spiritual reality. And when it reflects in the material world, it allows us to be conscious of the material reality through the various, like buddhi, manas, ahankar, and so on. So Samvit Shakti allows us to be conscious of things. So we have a little bit Samvit in us that allows us to be conscious, but we need our little bit of Samvit needs support from the actual spiritual potency. Otherwise, we cannot know Krishna. It's not possible. Like that. Okay,
small question, Prabhu. So we hear that Srimati Radharani's embodiment or personification of Radhani Shakti, is she the personification of all three, Samvit and Sandhani also? Or?
Yeah, basically.
So they're all internal potencies and...
Yes. Yes.
Okay. One other thing was that... So you were mentioning how, in response to Michael Prabhu's question, you were mentioning how the obstacles are servants for those who are Krishna conscious, or yes, advanced in Krishna consciousness. So how do we make best use of obstacles?
By associating with devotees and getting some perspective. That's what I explained that also. For us, it may be hard for us to see obstacles as servants of Krishna. We usually see obstacles as obstacles. And so that's why I mentioned also my answer to him, that generally that will require the association of sadhus to gain a little perspective. We may, depending on how deeply we've imbibed these messages, if you become a Sharanagata, you can see it in this way. But if our Sharanagati is not very evolved yet, then we won't be able to see it in that way. At least psychologically, we won't be able to take it. So you hang out with sadhus, they help you get some perspective.
I can kind of understand the aspect that obstacles help you take shelter of the Supreme Person because you realize your helpless condition. But... they also impede the service that you may be able to render. So in that sense, I was not able to understand.
Well, the service, the primary service that we're supposed to be rendering is getting ourselves Krishna conscious. This is like of utmost importance. This is a primary service. And it won't, so that service can never be impeded by any form of obstacles. Certain other sorts of services may be impeded, like suppose you have, let's say like an altar service or so on, you get in a car accident and you lose the movement of your legs. So you say that's an obstacle in terms of my deity service. Now I can't go on the altar because I'm paralyzed or something. But there is no loss in the sense that your becoming Krishna conscious, which is your primary service, is not lost because of that one little factor. So sometimes certain situations you might have to fight for, like in the case of Prabhupada opening the Bombay temple. And so he fought. Mr. Nair, was an obstacle, and Prabhupada fought that obstacle. So in certain issues or situations, it may be Krishna presenting an obstacle to see what is your fighting spirit, how much you want him to appear, how much they Prabhupada want Radha Ras Bihari to appear in that place. So he presented some, how badly do you want me to appear? So Prabhupada fought, I want you to appear very badly. And then when Mr. Nair died, I think Prabhupada said Nrisingadev took care of him. And so then the Supreme Lord, Radha Ras Bihari, was able to appear. So how bad, so in other words, obstacles were may show you how, will show you and show the Supreme Lord how badly you want him to come to you, appear in your heart. And certain other obstacles may be there, Krishna's putting obstacles to stop you, stop your movement in a certain direction, such as Parashit Maharaj saying that the Supreme Lord has kindly appeared before me in the form of a curse of a Brahmana boy, and because of my attachment to materialistic householder life. So because of that, he knew that if he came to me in this way as a curse to die in 7 days, I would immediately, out of fear, stop all my materialistic householder movement and fully take shelter of him. So how to navigate what type of obstacle it is? Is it Krishna trying to see how determined I am? Or is it Krishna trying to block me in this way so I will actually move in another way, which is more efficient? Then that you can understand by development of your own Krishna consciousness, and also in accord with the words of sadhus, which is what I've already mentioned. We may need help of their perspectives. It's not always so easy to know. Okay, you wanted to say something, and then you could say, and then we're going to stop. Sorry.
Thank you. I just want to understand more how this, these two sentences that come after this verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, of how spiritual energy means causing miseries. The original spiritual energy is the source of happiness, but in the material world it becomes a source of miseries. Can you explain how that is again?
Yeah, I did my best. As I already described, Dilhandini Shakti is the pleasure potency of Krishna. So the pleasure potency of Krishna is the potency which gives pleasure to Krishna. That makes sense, right? And so like I mentioned, that energy is what causes movement in the spiritual world. So now you have the environment, that's the Sandini Shakti. You have awareness of the environment, that's the Samvik Shakti. But why move? Okay, now I'm just aware of it. Great, fantastic. Just like in Samadhi, you're just aware of things. There's no Brahman realization, you're just aware of things. There is no movement. But in the spiritual world, there's a lot of movement. But what is the reason to move? So that reason to move are such as the Hadini Shakti. It is the pleasure, it's the potency which causes everything to move around Krishna. So in the material world, that same potency causes us to move also. But it causes us to move towards sense objects. Because it's a perverted reflection. Yeah, you can call it as Durga or Mahamaya. You can call it in that way. But it is an aspect, because Durga will represent all the, or Mahamaya will represent all the aspects of these three potencies. So Sandini Shakti is perverted, reflected as the environment manifested by the modes of material nature. Samvit Shakti is perverted, reflected as knowledge of the material world, and even the knowledge of negation in the material world. And then Hadini Shakti. So all Durga or Mahamaya represents all the three aspects of the perversion of these original spiritual potencies. So the Hladini Shakti is the potency when pervertedly reflected, causes us to move towards sense objects, makes us mad after it. I already quoted the verse, Nunam Pramata Kuru Tevi Karma. And in that way, our movement towards sense objects is a source of misery. It's mixed up with misery. So, like that. So false happiness in the material world is a source of distress. As I also mentioned the analogy, that the drowning man analogy. The so-called happiness in the material world generally is a misnomer, like that. Or it is, you get some happiness. We don't want to say there's no happiness, because there is some happiness. But Krishna says it may be like nectar in the beginning and poison in the end, which is an experience that many of us have in relationship to trying to enjoy the sense objects. Happiness in the beginning, poison in the end. And that desire to keep moving, even though, like we say, insanity, right? Insanity means trying the same thing in the same way, and expecting a different result? Why do we keep trying for sense objects, even though we've had the bad experience? I have many friends who had girlfriends, boyfriends, they break up, and they're like devastated. They're like, I'll never do this again. I'll never do this again. And 2 weeks later, they got another one. And then, you know, the same thing happens shortly thereafter. And they say, I'll never do this again. You know, I'm through with this. And while drinking or smoking marijuana and trying to deal with it. And then a little bit while later, why do they keep doing that? That's the perverted reflection of the Hridini Shakti. The desire for happiness is there. But the desire for happiness in the material world causes us to try to establish that relationship to sense objects, which becomes a source of our misery. Just due to the ephemeral nature of sense objects and you're attached to them, so it becomes a source of misery. Hlada Tapakari Mishra. So Tapakari Mishra means it's mixed with Tapakari. So Hlada means there's some happiness, but it's mixed with Tapakari. Whereas in the spiritual world, it is Hlada, happiness, but there's no mixture of misery whatsoever as such. Although, well, what about the misery of separation? And that's a different topic. So that's how I can explain it. That's how I understood it for now. All right, last thing. Do you want to say something? Question?
The false ego and the senses, all the obstacles for a person, for a conditioned soul to hear the Lord, and then the Lord sits in the heart. So are these obstacles also serving to reach to God, or is this
does
not
obstacles also
serving as a act as a servant to the Lord? Means obstacles are servant, as you said, means obstacles are servant of the Lord and the okay. Devotees. So our anarthas, our false ego are also means putting obstacles in front of us to understand God or to realize God. So how they are acting as a servant?
How are they acting as a servant? As I described, by moving us towards Krishna. That was my simple explanation. First of all, it is a statement of Advaitacharya that obstacles are the servants of the Lord. So you're saying, how is an anartha, like fault finding, how is that helping us to move towards Krishna? Well, it's not. Therefore, I qualified it by saying that obstacles are servants for a certain level of devotee, not for all devotees. For devotees who have yet to complete their anartha nirvritti, obstacles are obstacles. And they're not servants as such. At least we don't experience it as such. But for devotees who are Krishna conscious, then they experience various sorts of obstacles, and it won't be the obstacles of anarthas and so on, which they would be devoid of. But certain, there is obstacles in moving in the material world. The body grows old, it gets diseased. There are envious entities ready to devour you, surrounding the atmosphere, etc. Whether you call them reptilian, snake race, Anunnaki, or you just call them human beings with really bad consciousness. And there are so many impediments in the material world. So these are, in that sense, there are obstacles. But even though a devotee will contact those situations, they will experience happiness. Case in point is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is encountering an obstacle in the form of his envious father, who's trying to kill him in so many ways, and yet he's experiencing happiness. So obstacles are servants for a certain type of devotee. That's kind of how I qualified it. That's my understanding. In an indirect sort of sense, obstacles can be servants in the sense that they help us realize how fallen we are, because the conditioned soul, generally we have a very strong sense of our own proficiency. I can do it. I don't need anyone's help. So then when you start to become aware of these sorts of obstacles in the form of anarthas, fault-finding, pride, and so on, and you actually, that combined with a sincere desire to be Krishna conscious, that will make you feel hopeless. See, most of us don't have any sincere desire for Krishna consciousness, so we're finding fault freely, and that doesn't disturb our mind whatsoever. Just find fault, be puffed up, and we're not at all disturbed by that. But when you have all those faults, and you combine that with a sincere desire to be Krishna conscious, then all those awareness of all those faults causes a sense of like despair, a sense of hopelessness. Durdaivam midrisami hajini na anuraga. You feel like hopeless. I'm so unfortunate, I have this big opportunity, I'm not able to take it. And then in that sense, those obstacles help you to develop the humility you were required to approach Guru and Nam in a really sincere sort of way. So in that sense, they are serving you also, even if you're a smaller level. One is a smaller level of devotion. They serve in that way. Provided you gain a sincere desire to be Krishna conscious, then these obstacles cause a sense of despair. And then you need, because of that sense, you realize I am hopeless and helpless. And then you approach Guru and Nam, please rescue me. I have no other prospect. You're my only hope. And then in that sense, it is servant. It serves you very nicely. But if you have no desire for Krishna consciousness, then you'll be puffed up away. Go, you'll be puffed up, you won't even see it as a big issue. But once you get a genuine desire for spiritual development, then these things, you realize I'm really hopeless. You become very humble, actually. These obstacles help you to become very humble, which is the key to developing prema bhakti, humility. Okay, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhu is there, Bhoga downstairs, if you can all help, Hare Krishna.